The Army is preparing to restart its migrations to email in the cloud by mid-March. Army Secretary John McHugh approved the congressionally mandated report detailing why the move to the cloud, run by the Defense Information Systems Agency, is the best one for the Army. But what the report doesn't tell is the real benefits the Army is seeing. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller joins us live from the AFSEA DC Emerging Technology Conference in Washington with those details. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Ruben.
All right, if the move to enterprise email is more than email, what is it also about?
Well, it's really about improving the way the Army does business. Now, it's a better, more standard email system. Yes, that's initially the goal when the Army's moving 1.4 million users to DISA's private cloud. But once that was, you know, thought was going to be a nice byproduct of the move, it's actually now changing the entire service, the way it runs. Mike Krieger is the Army Deputy Chief Information Officer. He says because the Army and DISA implemented what they call the ITIL business processes, that is the IT infrastructure library, very similar to Lean Six Sigma, ISO 9000, common terms many people have heard. But ITIL is a process by which you improve your business processes, and that has had the biggest effect on the service.
Problems we were having with enterprise email a year ago is that the Army didn't own the desktop. Most of the initial problems, Microsoft made some significant changes for us in their commercial product so that we could direct CAC authenticate from a user to Exchange in the DISA cloud. We have made more improvement on business processes between the Army and DISA in 1 year than you could imagine. When we do a migration, there's a joint order published by DISA Ops and Army ACOIC that comes out a week earlier. It says, here's who's migrating, here's how many, here's when they're doing, you know, here's what color their underpants are. That's never existed. So that enterprise email has little to do with email. But the discipline and ITIL business processes that we've established between the Army and our partner are huge.
Now, Krieger says when the Army paused the email migrations over the summer, It was as you heard him say, they didn't own the desktop, meaning the software running on the computers was something they didn't have enough control over. ITIL gave them that control. And by the way, Krieger says the cost estimate at the beginning of the program remained intact, where once the Army estimated it was paying between $150 and $190 per person per year for email. Now it's paying a quarter of that now, and part of the reason why the cost has stayed low is because of these ITIL business process changes.
Jason, in many ways, enterprise email is considered to be an emerging technology. How are the military services making sure they're looking at testing the next set of technologies?
Well, I think you're absolutely right, Ruben. The fact that the Army and DISA see this as kind of the first step of a bigger process, then they're planning several one-offs. And enterprise email will turn to collaboration, to turn to file storage, to enterprise records management, unified communications, and a lot more. But I think these people consider pretty standard technologies. Putting them in the cloud is one step. But I think what the email does is creates an identity management source, and that really opens the door to a broader use of technologies. Now, to ensure these technologies, these cutting-edge technologies work, several of the services are creating oversight boards. David Green's the chief technology advisor for the Marine Corps. He says the Marines have a formal and an informal process to look at the new technology, and that includes using small businesses.
We hunt technologies. We are looking around because oftentimes it's that little player that you never even thought of, never even heard of, and you run into them out in San Diego or somewhere else. And all of a sudden you go, wow, if I bring that into the holistic architecture that I have and it works and plays well with everything else, I am golden. And then as we go forward with these, then we bring that forward. We have just stood up a panel of SESs and flags called our Enterprise Architecture Executive Steering Group. They are actually the resource sponsors, and we show how these new technologies would align, and that will be evaluated against our enterprise architecture to determine whether or not it's worth the investment or worth the risk of that investment, especially with this declining budget.
Now, you heard Green mention EA, or enterprise architecture. That came up several times during the event yesterday, sponsored by AFSEA DC in Washington. Panelists, mainly from DOD, but some civilian agencies such as Energy and Homeland Security, say if the technology doesn't mesh with the agency's enterprise architecture, or as some people call it, the modernization blueprint, they just are not going to use it. Now, this represents just how far the tone, the discussion have come over the last decade. If you guys remember, OMBI pushed hard for enterprise architectures in the early 2000s. It kind of died off a little bit over the last few years. But I think this conference is just another example of just how hard that push from OMBI has changed the culture. Let me give you another example. Dr. Reggie Brothers is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Research. He says there's several focus areas where the research R&D across DoD, such as big data, cyber science and technology, electronic warfare, autonomy. And Brothers says DoD determined that these areas are either where the biggest gaps exist or where the biggest return of investment could be had.
Each one of these areas is being spearheaded by something called a priority steering committee. Now, each one of these priority steering committee is made up of members from the DoD and elsewhere that have come together to chart a roadmap for these different S&T priorities.
Now, the steering group is specifically looking at improving the acquisition process to reduce cost and to reduce the time it takes to go from an idea to an implementation. Now, these efforts come through the R&D part, as DoD's R&D budget request is down by about 3% in 2013 compared to the 2012 request. Now, this is DoD-wide. Look at when you jump into the services, for instance, again, going back to the Army, they're developing a common operating environment, and they just finished what they call a network integration evaluation, basically looking at their network to see where the holes are, where they can improve it. Now, Gary Blum works with the Army and around their enterprise architecture, and he says part of this effort that they're looking at, not just with the common operating environment, not with the network integration evaluation, but just across the board, they bring in the acquisition folks, the CFO folks, the operation folks, the program folks, and they're all working together to ensure that the program is architected in a way that meets the Army's needs. For instance, he says there's an upcoming network integration event at Fort Bliss and in White Sands this fall where vendors will showcase their products to the Army. Blum says the products must fit into the Army architecture, but, he says, the Army architecture must be flexible enough for the products to fit in easily. So basically open standard and not to limit competition.
We are speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. And Jason, has there been any discussion about the emerging technologies and how they include cybersecurity? What's the Army finding there?
Yeah, you can't drop a stone without hitting cyber at these conferences. So yeah, that was a big part. And there's a lot of focus around cybersecurity research and development. Let me start with the Homeland Security Department. Tara O'Toole is the DHS Undersecretary for Science and Technology. She says her organization is the only one who is trying to do research and development and how to best to secure federal networks. Now, at the same time, she's also working with DHS Undersecretary for Management Rafael Boris to improve the acquisition process and the time it takes to move from the R&D phase to the production phase, something we're also hearing in the DoD. Now, going more specific to back to the Army for a second, they have a cyber director, and they're saying there's benefits from that enterprise email implementation. Major General Stephen Smith is the director of the Army Cyber Directorate.
It actually makes my life better because this screams of standardization. And so think about having one email system, one email address. It helps us with a Department of Defense identity management. So all of the efforts, not only does it save the Army a tremendous amount of money, but it's better for our user community and from a security perspective, provides much more enhancement, not only today, but to be able to accept new technology, particularly in identity management.
Now, Smith says that area of identity management is the biggest area his office is looking for new capabilities in. He says by moving to an enterprise, that pushes the service to run more technologies across its broad network. And that means the insider threat, something we've heard about a lot, continues to be a big and a growing issue. In fact, Admiral David Simpson is the vice director of DISA, and he points to part of that insider threat as his biggest concern.
The security of certificates are authentication basis, the keys to the kingdom. As we get more functionality up and down the stack, as we do more with mobility than we ever dreamed of today, making sure that we identify each of the users within that network and can keep the certificates that do that are properly secure. That's probably my biggest concern and where I think we should be putting our greatest emphasis.
Now, you heard Admiral Simpson talk about mobile. That's a big issue, again, for all of DoD securing those mobile devices. And he actually said he could see a time in the coming year or so when the federal mobile strategy, something federal CIO Stephen Van Roeckel is developing, will be integrated with the DoD standards called the STIGs. He says DISA also will be releasing more RFIs, RFPs in the coming months around mobile security to address both the growing needs and those growing concerns.